If you will, take your Bible and turn back with me tonight for just a moment. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And just read one verse and then go from there with what we're trying to... We've been talking about regeneration. And regeneration is a word that has its due along with being born again, but at the same time, it has a little different variety of meaning than just being born again. But tonight, I believe that studying these words, studying ought to be a big help. And let me say this before I even pray. I heard someone say recently they were talking about giving in the seed of, they're talking about giving, using the word seed in the scripture. If you heard, seen much on the television today, most of the time people talk about that way. This person made the statement that the reason they keep teaching that because people who are progressive people need to hear it over and over and over again before God can rest it on their heart and mind. I believe that. I believe we're creatures of gradualism. I believe many times there's some things we have to hear a number of times to get it because we may not understand it. But I don't think it's about giving. I think God's Word is pretty sure about what we should be doing there. Maybe the tithing ought to be taught more. But I do know this. Biblical truth is something that a lot of times you don't get the first time. You may get a nugget or two, a spiritual nugget, but can't put it together. But the study of the way we've been variety of studying lately, if you'll notice, you can't help to study any form of fashion of the scriptures over periods of time that you don't have things lap over. And when they lap over, it sounds like maybe it's about the same. You've heard it a number of times, but the way you hear it at that time, the way God helps you put it together, helps you understand how you're growing grace and knowledge of the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the problems is in our day, there's something about growth that's not happening. People have a lot of hidden knowledge, but as far as growth to make discipline in their life is not there. And probably one of the things in the church today we're going to have more to give account for as God's children is because we have allowed things to get in the way to keep us from doing some things that God would have us to do. And we're going to, the church will actually report before God for that one day, because this scripture not only teaches us that we can know the will of God for our lives, not only can we know biblical truth and the variety of studying, if you keep any notes at all, I guarantee you see the variety of studying as God gives His Word to us in different fashions as we study it, and we'll begin to put things together a lot better because we have the Bible as our reference, the Bible as our commentary. Even though we use a lot of other things, this is the final commentary, and we try to stick to this with God's help. And so this word generation, and these words we'll be looking, I maybe spend a lot of time on some of these words, but they're necessary, because if you get these words right, then you're going to understand more of what happened when you got saved. How it worked out, what God did for you and I that we got saved, and why God puts a demand on us. I go back a little bit of time and look at the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, and I'm amazed at all that God gave Paul, what happened to us, where were we at, what happened to us to be born into the family of God, and suddenly in Romans chapter 12, and we know back even he tells us in chapter 7, we looked at those verses in there. In chapter 6, he tells us what happens by when we be born into the family of God compared to where we were before we were saved. He tells us what happens as far as the law is concerned and where we're at. He tells us what the flesh is capable of doing and why we have to bring it into control. He lets us know sometime it doesn't even look like, if you analyze yourself with the scripture, it might not look like a person even saved. But yet on the other hand, if you have Christ as your personal Savior in Romans chapter 8, there's no condemnation to the child of God who's been born again. He wants us to understand growth helps us know what to do, but it don't make us do what we know to do. And sometimes if we don't do what we know to do, then our knowledge is limited, because what good is to give knowledge if it's not being put into practice? Now, we don't like that probably, but that's the way it is. We learn to do. And that's what we've seen in Joshua, we saw last Sunday morning in different ways, and that's what we'll see here tonight as we talk about regeneration. Because this word itself will bring about some tremendous truth to your heart and soul about being saved that will make you stabilize yourself before the Lord even in the last days. Now, Father, we come to you again, and we thank you for the precious Word of God. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for living in us, and everyone here tonight has the Holy Spirit in them. It's this desire to teach our hearts the things that Jesus said he would in all things, and bring things to remembrance to our mind. If we read or studied it somewhere, may have forgotten or didn't get it, can put it together, but then suddenly God brings it to our mind to understand a tremendous truth about our Christian life and where we should be. And then realize, Lord, every day, this flesh is doing its best. Satan is working through this flesh to hinder us, make us make decisions. It takes us away from God sometimes, takes us out, whatever. There's just a lot of things we do, and then we can make decisions, though, as Paul said in Romans chapter 6, that whereas we submit to you rather than to the flesh like we were before we got saved. So help us tonight with this word as we continue on looking at regeneration. In Jesus' name we pray. And we go back again, and we just read what Paul said in chapter 3 of Titus, when he says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So we know this not a works of righteousness. That's not righteous that we have done. But by his righteousness, and God imputed that to us when we trust Christ as Savior. And when I think about the new birth, I think about being born into the family of God, and understand regeneration has to do with that, but it's a different way. And I guess I said this years ago, and I wrote down this thought. New birth and generation are the same event, but view in a different stage. The new birth is the new life. It's the new birth. It's been born again from above. John 3, he tells us how. The incorruptible seed, we receive that seed and so forth. That's the birth. Also, we know that we are children by adoption, which makes us full blood for inheritance. But when you talk about regeneration stresses the inception of a new state of things in contrast with the old. What the new regeneration is to remake us from something we were into something that God is making us now. So you have to have the new birth for the regeneration to take place. Regeneration is a constant growth as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And hope that brings a change. So what happens as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, we want to find ourselves forgetting things behind, the old man, putting off the old man, as Paul put it in the church of Corinth, and putting on the new man. And that putting off the old and putting on the new is the regeneration part, which in turn brings about a recreation of who we are. Inside there's a new creation, and the world can't see that unless it manifests on the outside. And so that's what reading this word so important in life. So I want to look at Bible study a little bit about regeneration, and I want to talk about three things tonight if we can, and then we'll move on to something else later. We know this to rehearse. Regeneration means new birth. That is something new to start with in a way of life. We know this generation is not something that we do ourselves. It's not something we can make ourselves born into the family of God. It's to be born again from above, John chapter 3, into the family of God. It's merely not just a religious system. It is not some type of religious conversion. It is not, as we've heard many times, a change in our life of self-improvement for ourselves. It's not trying to be something we think God would be pleased with within our own self. It's not to experience a relationship with God by turning over a new leaf, or maybe joining a church, or trying to live good. Those things may be good for society, but that won't do one thing for the child of God, because a person who does those things without Jesus Christ is not a child of God. And so they're clothing themselves with religion, outward in instead of inward out. And we have to realize it starts inward out. So the New Testament has much to say about the new birth, as it shows us clearly these three elements of life. That is, what is meant by regeneration? And number two, how can we be regenerated? And number three is simply, what is the result of being regenerated? So what is meant by regeneration? As we think of that, think for just a few minutes. We know already to be born again is to be born from above. Jesus told us about that in John 3, verse 1, down a number of verses, about seven verses there. So to be born again is not self-improvement, but it is to be born of God with a new life. How do I know that? Now turn to 1 Peter, and the only thing I know to do is let the Scripture speak for themselves. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's look down about, let's read all four verses. Know what Peter said, first of all. He said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now watch. Watch. Who is he writing to? Not to the world. The gospel message is to the world. But now he's writing to those who have obtained same like faith. What's Peter saying? The very faith he had in Christ is the same faith. These are who he's writing to. He knows what to be born again. And they should know what it is to be born again. So he said, have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, when he said the righteousness of God, that excludes all men's self-righteousness. You got to have the righteousness of God. How do you get that? That's what this Bible is trying to tell us. Jesus came and established it for us as a man, went back to the Father as our high priest, became our Passover lamb, and when the blood was applied in the place it should be in heaven, God accepted it, and Jesus sat down. That never happened in the Old Testament 1,500 years or more. And certainly from the first beginning part, even up to 4,000 years in the Old Testament. Because there was someone giving sacrifice all the time. It was not the head of the house before the Leviticus was set up. It was the priest that was set up. And those priests died, and they had to continue to do that every year. And the seat, wouldn't you remember a few months back? Actually, a few years ago, we went back and looked at the Old Testament and what happened when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year and what he had to do in the tabernacle. All of that lays out a foundation of what Jesus did permanently. They had to do it every year, but he did it permanently. And so he's talking about that now. He obtained the precious faith, like precious faith, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So that tells me the righteousness of God, if that's what I got to have to get to heaven, how do I get that? And the Bible tells me I get that through Jesus Christ. It is his righteousness that he imputes to us, and our sin God imputes to him when he paid the sin debt. Now watch what he says later. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Not only do you have to know Jesus as Savior, which in turn helps you know who God the Father is, but he talks about grace and peace. Now, grace is given to you and I as an unmerited favor to get saved. But you know, you can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. That's what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. How are you going to do that? Well, it's through knowledge. Notice he said grace and peace. The very peace that Jesus said we could have his peace in John. You remember we read that a few weeks ago? About a couple weeks ago? That very peace that Jesus said we could have. But how are you going to have it if you don't know how to get it? And so here he said, grace and peace be multiplied, that it's be added unto you in your life. Grace is up front. We get salvation unmerited for grace are you saved through faith, not by yourself. But grace can be multiplied. How do I know that? He said, through the knowledge. That means you can know this. Amen? No wonder Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And the more I learn about this grace and how it multiplied, and said, by the way, don't you know Paul experienced that when he went to, in 2 Corinthians 12, when he went to God about the thorn in the flesh? He said, I went to him three times and said, Lord, remove this thing. And God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. That's a wonderful thought. And then Paul turned around. All of a sudden, he grew in grace and knowledge of the Lord quickly. And he said, then I will take my infirmities. I'll rejoice in my infirmities because that God may be exalted. And so that's what he said. Peter said here, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Now, what's this? According to as his divine power had given us all things that pertained to life. That life is eternal life. When we understand through Jesus Christ and begin to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, we're going to know more than just what the fact that I trust the Lord and I got saved. What took place when that? This is where he's letting us know here. According to his divine power, he's given to us all things that pertain to that life. Everything you needed, you got when you got born again about eternal life to start with. You can grow in grace and knowledge, and that in turn helps you. Well, it's the best way to understand that again. May I go back? When you're born physically, you got everything within your DNA at that time to be born physically. But I'll tell you, if you hadn't done a lot of things since you've been born as you grew physically, what'd be a shame for us to have a 4-year-old mind and we were a 70-year-old person? You see what we're saying? So same thing God has said. We grow in grace and knowledge. We get born again, but there is a growth that's needed that the world will see who we are because what's transpired on the inside. And so he goes on and watching. He said, according to his divine power, had given us all things that pertaineth unto life. That's the eternal life he's talking about, not physical life. We had that before we got saved. And godliness, and it links the two together. How? Through the knowledge of him. There's that word to know again. Through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby we're given unto, watch this, us exceedingly great and precious promises. And watch. And one of the parts of that precious promise, one of those promises, is that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Wow. Hey, you look in the mirror next time you look at yourself and you say, I don't deserve God's nature. If you think you do, you better realize you don't have it. We don't deserve it, folks. Amen. We don't deserve God's nature, but he says if you will follow the pattern about Christ and who he is and get things lined up with the Father and Son, then you will grow in grace and knowledge from this book. It's knowledge. Did you know there's not a thing in this world you've done in this life that you didn't have knowledge to do it? If you got a job, you had to have certain knowledge to do it. If not, you wouldn't have had the job. If you got a trade, you got a vocation, you had to have a certain knowledge to do it. If not, you couldn't do that particular thing. Knowledge is important to physical life. And it's so important that we understand as human beings, our nation understands it verbally to the place that they force you, put your children in school to grow so they can grow academically. If you don't, they'll fine you, arrest you. They've some people been arrested because they didn't keep their kids in school. You say, well, that's horrible. But it's a wonderful thing to know that our nation realized that you can do better in this life if you had an education. Don't mean you're any better than anybody else, but you can just do better. Now, one of the problems is if you got an education, you don't have common sense, though, you don't have much. You got to have good common sense to put education together. Have you ever seen somebody that's so smart they couldn't do anything? Didn't have any reason at all. Well, he's telling us here, whereby he's given his precious promise, and notice, by partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, what he's saying, we have the potential to escape that because Romans chapter 6 goes through where we were at, when we got saved, what happens, how we are now to be submitted unto him as we were submitted unto the flesh before. The difference is now we have access to God by his Spirit, submitted unto the Spirit. A number of times he teaches us that. That just instead of being yielding to the flesh now, he says we are to be yielded to the Spirit. But you can't yield to the Spirit unless we know what it is the Spirit would have us to do. And that comes from the study of God's Word. So to be born again, it's not self-motivation or self-improvement. It's actually trusting Christ as one's personal Savior. And then he goes on down and says these things. And besides this, given all diligence, he said, add to your faith, virtue, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and patience, godliness, and to godliness, brother kindness, and to brother kindness, charity. And watch, I like this. He's for, if these things be in you and abound. What does abound mean? It means it exceeds. It don't just sit there and stalemate. It's not some knowledge that you get and it just stay here. It abounds, it's used. And in turn, excited to see as you increase in knowledge, and then increase in that which God gives you the responsibility to do. Once he said, these things be in you and abound. Now, if I understand that, what did you say? If these things be in you, that's not enough. And abound. Don't miss that. We say, I've got that. By the way, it's more than that. We may have a lot of knowledge in us, but if it's not abound, it's not being used. If it's not been that in the sense to promote something, then it's not really. He said, they abound in you. Then he said, if you do that, he said, watch this, ye shall neither be barren, that is, you will not be unfruitful. Scofield said he meant idle, be idle. And of course, if you're idle, you are unfruitful. Unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things are not manifested, or at least allowing God to work through us to see where we fall in the position he would have us to be, he says then that these things are barren or nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blinded and cannot see afar off, and had forgot that he was purged from his old sin. In other words, if you're not careful, if a person's truly born again, it might look like they're not even saved to this world. Because there's nothing to manifest what took place on the inside. And we'll look at that a little more because there's some words that's important in regeneration to look at to understand what it means when he talks about in John sin, not and so forth. We pick up that. He said, wherefore, therefore, brethren, give diligence, make your calling election sure, because that's that main thing. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith or not. For if you have these things, you shall never fall. Isn't that wonderful? If you have these things working in you that God has said we have through knowledge and growth and grace and knowledge of the Lord, he said you'll never fall. And yet on the other hand, I've said to you last week, I want you to turn away the verse I was looking for and could not find, and watch me not be able to find it again tonight now. Go to the book of Proverbs with me. I want to go back first to Ecclesiastes. And this really blesses my heart because it helped me understand. If I understand what God is saying about his children who have truly been born into the family of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, in verse 19, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man that on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Notice the word just man. It didn't say a man, but a just man. That's a man who's been declared just by God. And it goes back, and in fact, he started off at Romans and said that the whole world sinned and comes short of the glory of God. But now, to show a little deeper that, look in Proverbs chapter 24. And I want to look down verse 16, 17, 18 alone there. I'm talking about what it means to be regenerated. He says in verse 16, watch this. Solomon says this. I want you to watch this. For a just man, who is a just man? A just man is not a just man because they think they are in their own sight. God says a just man is one he's justified. Go to Romans 3 and you'll find that. Been justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the Old Testament, is one who believed and followed what God said as far as the rules and regulations are concerned. He said, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. In other words, he said a just man may not have it all together and may make a decision, but his life won't be that way. He falls and God deals with him and he said, he'll rise up again. But a wicked man won't. A wicked man will continue in his sin, and if he does, that's a sign he's not saved. But on the other hand, a just man will get up. Why? The Holy Spirit won't let you be where you're at and have peace about it. You won't have peace. And he goes on, and I like this. He rises up, but he said, rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth. Now, he goes back there when it comes to someone that fell. He said, let the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thy image of them, for there shall be no reward of the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. I mean, there's no hope for him, no help. But for the just man, there is. My son, fear not. He said, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to chains, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? Now, go back again, if you will, to 1 John. When you talk about being born again, it's not self-improvement. It's been born from above. Now, you remember in John chapter 1? Well, first turn to John chapter 1. It's the best one now. You remember what Jesus said about receiving Christ? Let's go back and look at a couple of words here. In verse 12 of chapter 1, he said, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Watch this. Even them that believe on his name. Isn't that an amazing thing? Even that believes on him. What is the difference in believing on his name and receiving him? When you think about the word believe and receive, how can I say it? When you believe something, you actually have a mental focus of that, or something that you have confidence in, or something that you have read that you believe the record. And the Bible teaches in 1 John 5 that the record of God's Son, that Jesus Christ came and he died and was buried and so forth. We have the record. You remember that? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, he said, he that believeth on the Son and God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not, and this is verse 10, chapter 5, verse 10, and hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record God gave his only Son. Why? Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now watch. And this is the record that God had given us to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So he that hath the Son hath the life. He that hath not the Son, God hath not the life. So what I'm saying is, you can have the record about God's Son, but not have the Son. The record tells us there's a Son. He said in verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, not just a record. You take the record and believe. You take the record and focus. Have a mental persuasion to have a confidence in the record as being true. But that's when Jesus said, watch, that's when Jesus said, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power. See how God helps you realize what took place if you really got saved? Again, to as many as receive him, not as many as had the record. Hey, did you know every person in this town, in this county, in this state has got a copy of the Bible, has got the record? But I guarantee you that a lot of them got it and haven't received him. You can have the record and it condemns us. But you can't just have the record on the coffee table and it save you. You got to receive it. And I love that. And he goes on and he says, ministers to them, to those who receive him, he give the power to become sons of God. He talks about it. And notice, even to them that believe on his name. How's that? Because it's the record that brought the attention to us for the Holy Spirit to draw us to the Lamb of God. And as we look at the record, and we believe that, you know, if someone said, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he was born. I believe he died at Calvary. I believe that. But what about receiving him? I don't know about that yet. I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus put the capstone on to as many to receive him. He said, at that time, to as many to receive him, to them gave he power. He'd give the power to become sons of God. And so here again, we put these two together and help us to get to something in just a little bit later. Now, to be born again then is to be born, as you look in John chapter 3. You remember he talked to Nicodemus, he said to be born again. He said, verily I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what he said. As you look in verse 3, the first time. Because you know Nicodemus asked about going back to mother's womb and so forth. Then Jesus said, except the man, verily I say unto you, except the man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. First, he said he can't even see it. Second thing, he said, well, let me tell you, if you're not born of the water and the Spirit, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. And of course, we know most people and scholars say that born of the water simply means earthly birth, when a mother's water breaks and comes through the mother's womb. And being born again is from above. And that's when Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so to see that, then we understand also that it takes the incorruptible word, 1 Peter teaches us, I find it chapter 1, verse 23, incorruptible word, which is the word of God, which really manifests Jesus Christ himself. He has the power to do that. He is the source of our power, of our salvation. And so what happens there, we know that we can be born into the family of God because we trust him as our personal Savior. So in John chapter 3, and then he said in verse 5, he said, verily I say, except the man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, does none of that make sense? If that's what he meant, and evidently since he used it there, that means if you want to be born physically, there's no way you can be born spiritually. But you are born physically. You can be born spiritually. It puts it out just as plain. But he won't burglarize your will to do it. He'll do everything else. He'll get people to love God and give their life and go to fields and die, give their money because they believe in it, that people can hear the gospel. He'll do everything in God's people to work towards a goal that the person can hear that gospel and know how to receive that gospel, which is the Lord Jesus, the power resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So regeneration is the greatest wonder and the greatest miracle in the universe, because after the new birth, this in turn shows people who we are. Look at 1 John chapter 2. And let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and notice what John says here. If you look at verse 28, he said, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Then notice verse 29. Now, this is very important. If you know that he is righteous, now who do you think he's talking about? The only one I know that you can know that is righteous is Jesus Christ. That's who he's been talking about here. And he says to those who receive him now, he says to those, he called them little children before that, if ye know that he is righteous, and by the way, I don't think you can get saved unless you know that, because you wouldn't know that you need his righteousness. If I think I can get there by my own self-righteousness, I don't know I know his righteousness. And so I believe that if you truly trust Christ as Savior, you realize he had a righteousness you did not have, and in turn, you believed God, received Christ, and in so doing, God imputed God's righteousness to us, which makes us be able to stand in the presence of God one day. Then notice he said that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. Now, isn't that interesting? In other words, if you know that he is righteous and understand that, then you know there's a righteousness that God talks about living. So if that new creation comes in, there's going to be a development in the individual person who's saved over a period of time to walk with God in his righteousness. But you don't get it all at one time, just like I didn't get all the things in the flesh at one time. It took me a long time just to learn ABCs. And I see here, he said in that to me, he said, if ye know that he is righteous, and by the way, I know he's righteous. And then he says, ye know that everyone that doeth righteous is born of God. Now, what does the word doeth mean? This is a very interesting word. Look in verse 9 of chapter 3. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. All right? If you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteous is born of him. Did you know the word doeth and the word commit, the same word in the Greek? It means practice. He said again, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that practices righteousness is born of God. In other words, what you see practiced in what you know is God's righteous, you know that's a child of God. That's what I'm saying. It's the outward what man sees that he knows he's got an inward. But here he talks about commitment. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. That means he doesn't practice sin. But notice, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That is, he cannot practice sin. He cannot live a lifestyle in sin if he's born again, because the Holy Spirit who saved him, imputed righteousness to him from Christ, will bring about a fellowship there that cannot be broken. If the fellowship is broken, they will feel the consequence of that broken fellowship. And that's the reason he can say, a just man get up 7 times. I hope you don't have to, but he said he would. Listen, I'm glad to know when God talks about birth, he's not talking about Mickey Mouse stuff. He's not talking about, hey, if get in if you want to and get out if you want to. And join that group. If you don't like that group, join another group. You know, can you imagine somebody saying, I want to become a Christian, Lord, and I'm just going to trust you and I'm going to follow you. And then all of a sudden, he comes along and says, I believe Buddha's right. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust Buddha and just leave that. Listen. There's no way in this world that a person who trusts Christ as their personal Savior and learn what they are from this book would ever go to another religious organization. The trouble is, if they trust Christ, they trust him like they trust any other religious leader. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not what God wants. You know, some of you have been saved a long time, and you know there's not a one in here that's been saved in the period of time. No, there's been times you could have went a certain way and thought you might have just done it. And if you'd have done it, you'd have been miserable, no telling what. Because there's every one of us have tried some things and found out we just can't do it in practice. Or sometimes you found something that you didn't even know. And you found out later. And you found out by that situation was in such a way that you couldn't be a practice of that. Because there was something that was staring at you, that the Word of God. Especially if you're in this book. Now, if a person's not in this book, they have no source. Ladies and gentlemen, it's good to hear teaching. It's good to hear preaching. But you need some time along with God with what you hear taught and preached. So the Holy Spirit can help you put it together and take words like this for that purpose, you see. And then he also goes a little further. As a matter of fact, if you look over in chapter 5 with me, and we'll go down to about verse 18 and 19. John said, "And we know that whosoever born of God sinneth not." There it is again. That word means practice. He doesn't practice sin. Go back to Romans 6 and you tell why. Because if you yield to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's going to direct you. You can't yield to the Spirit unless you have him. You can't have him unless you're born again. And then he goes on. He said that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That is, they don't practice it. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God, why is that? Because they know they can't practice sin. They can't live a lifestyle of sin and be born again. Because Jesus said, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. And he said, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding. That's blessed about it. That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, eternal life. And Jehovah's Witnesses need to read that, because he said, this is the true God. And they say, no, he's not. But he is. He is. Little children, keep yourself out of the world. So I look at some things, and I'm seeing this regeneration then, what it means to be regenerated, been born from above with the precious, incorruptible Word of God, or seed of God, which is the Word of God. Then I think about how can we be regenerated then? We're regenerated by living and abiding God's word in the corruptible seed of life. 1 Peter 1:23 talks about that corruptible seed. We read it, and let's read it again real fast. Like in chapter 1, he said, "Sin, you have purified your soul," in verse 22, "in obeying the truth." We said obeying the truth is, I must know what the truth is, I'm going to obey it. That makes sense. I don't know. Maybe I'm off the wall somehow. I can't study the scripture by asking questions. And I got to have an answer to the question before I go any further. That may be the reason why I'm so hard to learn. But I'll tell you one thing, if I learn it, I won't hit a stick. It'll come. Got to bring it up. Sin, he said, you have purified your soul in obeying the truth. What is obeying the truth? Well, I couldn't really know that. In the secular world, I could say being honest and things like that. But with biblical concept, where does obeying the truth start with? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, come unto me. Oh, you have, I'll give you rest. Therefore, if I'm obeying the truth to start with, I've got to come to him, because he is the truth. And then I see also, notice that he says, obey the truth, and I got to know the truth, what that truth is, to obey it. And when I see that he is the truth, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, Lord, why would you tell me that? Why would you tell me that you're the way, the truth, and the life? I'm the way and the truth of life. Because there's no other way to get to God except through him. So I go back and I see John 14, when Jesus said, when he said that, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. See how it locked together? Did you come to the Father through Christ? If you did, you're born again. But it's got to be biblically. Someone said, well, I just tried him on a little bit. No, that don't work. But he goes on. He said, seeing that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. We'll go back to verse 22. He said, bend the truth through the Spirit unto unfinished love. That means real sincere love. He said, one for another with a pure heart fervently. Now, how's that done? Been born again, not a corrupt seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25 said, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. So therefore, it's a known fact, you can be saved forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So we know we're generated by living in the word of God and by the incorruptible seed in our life. We're regenerated also through the resurrection. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. And 5. Go to chapter 1. And I want to just look at verse 4 and 5. And we see in chapter 1 also in verse 3. Let's see. Look in verse 3 first. He said, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Why do I know there's no other person that can save me but Jesus Christ? I go to Calvary and see him die. So a lot of others die with him. I go and they see and I take him down, put him in a tomb. There's others put him into a tomb. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the only one that came out. Amen. So why would I trust anyone except him? I hope I can get it so simple as a child can see it if you can't see it. Amen. Because if these things are so vivid in our heart and life to understand, to really get a hold of what God has done for us. And he goes on. Notice he said, and to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Not only that, but he's begotten us to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Yet where's that? Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I like that. Boy, there's a verse that I can put beside this thing of knowing that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now or season, if need be, ye in heaviness through manifold temptation. Therefore, then he said, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto price and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So we are regenerated also through the resurrection, because that's the source we see that he gives us the power as a child of God. So to be regenerated, born again, we must receive Christ by believing in his name and put the three together in this all do tonight. John 1:12 said we're to receive him. To them receiving, to them gave power to become sons of God. And then I also see that he gives it to those who believe. Believe, again, is to have a mental persuasion, to have a confidence in the record that God gave of his son. How do I know he would do that? Because John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world, he gave his own begotten son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, have everlasting life. Ever who would begin to believe the record of God's Son will lead to the point of receiving Christ. For he's the door. And you don't go through the door until you receive Christ as your personal Savior. And so regeneration is a important word in the vocabulary of a child of God. To understand what birth is, and the greenness is there, and we had a physical birth, we had a spiritual birth, but also to understand that regeneration is going further with what we've learned as far as putting off the old man and regenerating to a new man. The world can see the old man. The world should see the new man. And it's done through regeneration. Father in heaven, thank you again for your precious word, Lord. Open our hearts up to see these wonderful truths. Help us be settled, steadfast in where we stand in these days, dear Lord, that we not be puffed up, be able to reasonable talk to someone about what you've done for them. And let the scriptures become. I believe with all my heart, Lord, if I read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit will help put it together, and if people will take the scriptures and let that become their commentary, Lord, the Holy Spirit will do great things and help us understand things. We'll maybe off on some things because we're not perfect. But Lord, we know this. If we'll stick where Jesus Christ is at and understand what He's done for us and promote Him and realize there's a life that God says for us to live for Him, whatever barrier we have, every trouble we have, every trial we have, God can help us do just that so people will see in the end results that Jesus Christ is still saving people who live for Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.